Good morning, friends. Again, we are to have the privilege of bringing to you the Word of God. The Spirit of God may take His Word and make it very precious to your heart and to your life. It is a wonderful thing that the Lord has revealed Himself to us in all the wonders of His character and the tenderness of His heart. And as we go back to the Gospel through John, and again find in that precious gospel what God has for us, we pray the Lord may enlarge our capacity to receive the truth of God. In our last lesson, we were in John's Gospel, chapter 8. You remember, this is the chapter where we have Jesus Christ revealed as the light of the world. The chapter starts with a sinless Savior and a sinful woman. Indeed, the chapter starts with the Jews wanting to stone a sinful woman, and the chapter ends with them picking up stones to stone the sinless one. And in this chapter, this wonderful chapter, the 8th chapter of John, there is given to us the claims of Christ that He is the light of the world, and not to follow Him means to walk in darkness. He is the great liberator. He liberates from death. He liberates from slavery. And the ground for that liberation is His sacrifice on the cross. And then He claimed to be the sinless one. Which one of you convinceth me of sin? And you remember their reaction when they said, "Say we not well unto thee that thou art a Samaritan, and thou hast a devil?" And then He claims to be the El Shaddai, Abraham's God. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." "You're not yet 50 years of age, and hast thou seen Abraham?" "Before Abraham was, I am." Jesus claimed to be not only the El Shaddai, the Almighty God, but He also claimed to be the pre-existent one, the eternal one. Now you see, the issue is before these Jewish people. And by the way, the issue is before you. If Jesus Christ is what He claimed to be, there is only one of two things we must do. Either we must fall down and worship Him, receive Him as our Savior, receive Him in all His claims, and come into right relationship with Him, or we must reject Him and be like these Jewish people that picked up stones to stone Him, claiming Him to be a blasphemer. I see what a wonderful chapter this is. Jesus of Nazareth claimed to be the light of the world. He claimed to be the great liberator from death and from sin. He claimed to be the sinless one. He claimed to be the El Shaddai, the Almighty. And He claimed to be the eternal, the living eternal God. I repeat it, it's a real joy for one to come and know the Savior and to fall down and worship Him. We shall see this in the 9th chapter of John. In the 8th chapter, you have His teaching, "I am the light of the world." In chapter 9, there is given to us the illustration of this very truth. You remember we said in the introduction to chapter 8 some days ago that chapter 8 and 9 go together. That His great discourse as the light of the world was preceded by a moral issue and is followed by a physical issue. Now in the 9th chapter, you have the Lord Jesus taking a man who was born blind and healing him. You remember He put clay in the man's eyes and told him to wash in the pool of Siloam, and he came back seeing. And this caused a great stir in Jerusalem. Here is a man born blind. Have you ever heard of a man born blind having his eyes open? This is what the blind man said afterwards. Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that one born blind should have his eyes open. Is not this the Christ? So when we come to chapter 9 of the Gospel through John, we have Jesus Christ illustrating His truth. As the light of the world, He opens blind eyes. As the great liberator, He delivers this man from darkness. As the sinless one, He forgives the sinner. And as the eternal one, He receives worship. I wish we had time to go into this because it's a wonderful passage concerning assurance. You remember they said, give God the glory. As for this man, Jesus, he's a sinner. And this dear man said, I don't know what he is, But one thing I do know, once I was blind, now I see. My friend, you couldn't fool this blind man. He had never seen the light of day. My, what a revelation for him to come with his eyes open and see the beauty all around him. Things he had heard all his life but had never seen. And then to come in the presence of the Savior and gaze upon the one who opened his blind eyes. I say, what an experience for this dear man. So in the chapter, there are two or three things that I'd like to point out to you and then pass along into chapter 10. First of all, this question of assurance. One thing I know, once I was blind, now I see. Can I make that personal? Can you say, once I was lost, but now I'm found? Once I was out of Christ, now I am in Christ. Once I was lost, but now I'm saved. Once I was in the dark, now I'm in the light. For God hath translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his blessed Son. I suggest this to you, the wonderful assurance of salvation in Christ Jesus. My friend, if you're really trusting the Savior, you revel in him. Don't revel in your feelings. They pass with the wind. Don't revel in somebody else's experience. You revel in God, in the one you trust, even our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you'll notice something else in the passage. When we accept the truth, the Lord will reveal to us the next truth. Just for example, in verse 11 of this chapter, you got your Bibles there in John chapter 9, verse 11. He answered the Jews and said, "A man that is called Jesus anointed mine eyes and told me to wash, and I did, and I received my sight." They said to him, "How were thine eyes opened?" He said, "A man called Jesus." Now I'm going to go down to verse 17. They said to the blind man again, "What sayest thou of him? What do you think of him that he hath opened your eyes?" And this blind man said, and I shouldn't say he's a blind man because now he has his eyes open, but he said he's a prophet. In verse 11, he's a man. In verse 17, he's a prophet. Now go down to verse 35. When Jesus heard that they cast the man out, he found him and he said to him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Notice the progression of revelation. In verse 11, a man called Jesus. In verse 17, he's a prophet. In verse 35 to 38, he's the Son of God, and he worshipped him. Did you notice something? In chapter 8, when Jesus declared that he was God, they picked up stones to stone him. When Jesus revealed himself to this blind man, now having had his eyes open, the man worshipped him. What do you do? Again, I say, my friend, you either stand with the Jews who wanted to stone the Son of God, accusing him of being a blasphemer, or you stand with a blind man and you say, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. You know, I think if you read your Bible very much, you will notice that the Lord of glory is more concerned about you worshipping him and praising him than all the things you can give him. I was struck with a verse in the 69th Psalm, I believe it is, the last of the chapter, the last of the Psalm, where the Lord is more, what shall I say, he's happy and more joyful over the praises and thanksgiving of his people than the offering up of animals. Oh, how it pleases his heart when we who profess to believe him worship him, praising him, thanking him for his wonderful goodness. Now we go to the next chapter, the 10th chapter of John. We have the revelation of Jesus Christ as the shepherd. It's an amazing thing in John's gospel in the 10th chapter and in the 21st chapter. 21st chapter, he is the chief shepherd. But when you come to the 10th chapter, he is the one who is the real shepherd. You see, there are false shepherds. If you go back to the Old Testament, you'll find that there were false shepherds, and the people of God were warned about these false shepherds. You find that in both Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and in Zechariah. These prophets of the Lord warned Israel of the evil false shepherds. But there is also those portions of the scripture where he's revealed as the real shepherd of God's people. How well we know the 23rd Psalm. Don't you know it? The 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So when we come to the 10th chapter, we find Jesus Christ revealed as the shepherd of his people. In chapter 8, our Lord is cast out of the temple. In chapter 9, the blind man is cast out. But in chapter 10, he's going to have his sheep. May I suggest this to you? May I repeat it? In chapter 8, they reject the Savior. They pick up stones to stone him. In chapter 9, he finds one of his sheep and opens his eyes, brings him to himself, and the Jews cast him out of the temple, have no place for him, they don't want him. In chapter 10, having been rejected by his people, he is still going to have his sheep. And in chapter 9 was one of his sheep. "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. One of the real believers in the Son of God. Now in chapter 10, he's going to have his sheep. So I would like you to read by tomorrow morning, if possible, at least have your Bible with you, and read the 10th chapter of the Gospel through John. The great shepherd, our Savior, who's the true shepherd, and he's the good shepherd, and he's the only shepherd, and he's the obedient shepherd, and he's the faithful shepherd. May I repeat those? Because I shall be taking them up tomorrow. Listen to them now. In this 10th chapter of John, our Savior is revealed as the true shepherd, as the good shepherd. He's the only shepherd, he's the obedient shepherd, and he's the faithful shepherd. My, what a revelation of the Lord to each one of our hearts. My friend, can you say with David of old, "The Lord is my shepherd, and because he is my shepherd, I shall not want"? You see, friend, you cannot have Jesus Christ as the great shepherd, the one who cares for you, until you receive him as the good shepherd who died for you. So as we take up the revelation of Jesus Christ as the shepherd of his people, we just pray the Lord may open up your eyes and my eyes to the glories of his person. And may you find him today precious and sweet. My Christian friend, if I'm talking to you, may you walk with him today. This will delight his heart and fill your heart with joy and with gladness. As you walk with him, then he finds you usable in your testimony and in your life. And may this be a wonderful day in your experience as you walk with the Son of God. And may the Lord wonderfully bless you.